We're going to Georgia now, where demonstrators who want the country in the Caucasus to join the European Union will be back on the streets of the capital, Tbilisi, this evening. Last night, thousands of marchers clashed with police when they demonstrated against a decision by the pro-Russian government to postpone talks on joining the EU for 4 more years. Well, journalist Eilish Halligan was at those protests for much of the night, and she joins us now. Eilish, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Can you describe for us what you saw and the mood of those who were on the streets there last night with you?
Yeah, so there have been frequent protests in Tbilisi since the elections on October the 26th, which the opposition claimed were rigged to favour the ruling party Georgian Dream. And these protests have kind of really struggled to get off the ground, not many people turning up. But the crowds last night, the protests last night, definitely marked a shift. They were the angriest, the biggest crowds that we've seen since protests earlier this year in the spring, which were against a foreign agent law. And so, yeah, just this kind of shift in the action we've seen so far, huge mobilization of riot police, use of water cannons, pepper spray, a lot of police violence against demonstrators, particularly journalists being targeted. It was this kind of real moment of radicalization of demonstrators. And I think the clashes with the security forces really enhanced that. So whereas the protests we've seen before yesterday were about rigged elections and calling for a new round of voting, now, you know, it's about Europe, it's about the future of Georgia, and it's about the Georgian people's choice to join the European Union.
The Georgian president came out on the streets last night and actually pleaded with riot police to side with the people. Does she have any sway?
So, yeah, President Salome Zurabishvili, whose term is actually up in a few weeks, made an appearance in the crowd last night. She stood right in front of the lines of riot police who were armed with helmets, shields and batons, urging them to remember that they serve Georgia and not Russia. It's the Georgian people that they're loyal to. And I quote, she says that it is not their duty to tear people apart. She also asked them how much they were being paid to serve Russian interests, suggesting that, you know, the ruling party had kind of bought their loyalty, but she didn't get any response. She is more a ceremonial figure in Georgia, so she has little power, although it was her responsibility to inaugurate the new parliament, which she didn't do. And on Monday, the new parliament, the new Georgian Dream Parliament, inaugurated itself anyway. So she's declared the new parliament unconstitutional and illegitimate. And those claims have been echoed by the opposition parties here in Georgia as well.
OK, Eilish Halligan, thank you very much for bringing us that update from Tbilisi in Georgia. We're going to Britain now, where MPs in Westminster have been holding a passionate debate on a bill to legalise assisted dying in England and Wales. The proposals have divided Parliament and MPs have been given a free vote, meaning they can vote their conscience. Let's hear a flavour of that debate in the House of Commons. Conservative MP Kit Malthouse is co-sponsoring the bill.
The deathbed for far too many is a place of misery, torture and degradation, a rain of blood and vomit and tears. I see no compassion and beauty in that, only profound human suffering. And in 10 years of campaigning on this issue, I've spent many, many hours with dying and bereaved people that have time and time again reinforced me of that view. Whatever happens to the bill today, people with terminal illness will still take their lives. If the bill falls today, we are consigning those people to take their lives in brutal, violent ways, as they are doing at the moment, or for increasing numbers of our fellow citizens to make the trip to Switzerland if they can afford it.
And Liberal Democrat MP Tim Farron spoke against the proposals.
An observation made to me by one senior oncologist just last week was that there are fewer, more stressful situations in a